It's by God's amazing grace that we're here this morning. I thank the Lord that when we deserved hell, when we deserved nothing of what He gave us, by His grace, He gave us mercy. I tell the church once in a while, mercy is that thing that allows God to prevent you from getting what you deserve. Grace is giving you what you don't deserve. Amen. And that's a promise of heaven. And I thank God for that this morning. I want to welcome each and every one of you. I know some of our folk are out. I know there's, in this kind of weather, there's the flu and every other little bug going around. And seemed like on Sunday morning it attaches itself to a lot of people. Praise the Lord. But anyway, we're here. You're here. And I'm here. And that's what's important. Amen. God said that He would gather together and meet with us where two or three are gathered together. In My name, there I'm in the midst. So He's here this morning. Amen. He's ready, willing, and able to do whatever's needed before this service is over. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. I want to share with you just a few thoughts that the Lord has placed upon our heart today. Very familiar scripture. This scripture is taught even to children when they're in children's church and Sunday school, so I'm sure that you've heard at least about this scripture all of your life. I trust that God will allow us to look at it this morning. Maybe I'll share something with you that you haven't seen before. It's a joy to be in God's house. This scripture, begin reading with verse 22, comes at a time when Jesus had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, had fed a multitude of people with them. But the meeting was over, and He fed like 5,000 people. But in verse 22, the Bible said, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary." How many of you have ever been in a storm in your life? Amen? I've been in 2 or 3, right? "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' Peter answered Him and said, 'Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water.' And He said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand, caught him, and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, 'Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God.'" Our Father, as we come to You this morning, I thank You for the privilege that we have to come into Your presence, to assemble ourselves together in this service and in this church to worship and to praise You. We thank You for Your promise that where we are, You would meet with us. And God, we know that You're here to meet with us this morning. I pray as we look into the blessed Word of God now that You would have Your way with this message. Anoint these lips of clay and use me that I might preach that would be pleasing in Your sight. Open the ears of these hearers today, Lord, that we might hear the Word of God, abide by it, act upon it, and receive what You have for us. And Father, we'll not fail to slip off somewhere. Give You the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen and amen. About a week or so back, I think it's been about a week, Brother Bob gave me a book or loaned me a book. And I'm reading that book, and it's called Angels on Assignment by one Roland Buck. A very interesting book, because the Bible said that we entertain angels unawares, and I'm beginning to realize that we have more encounters with angels than we realize, than we understand. The Bible teaches that they're all ministering spirits sent to minister to those that are the heirs of salvation. How many of you know you're an heir of salvation? Then an angel or angels are sent to minister to you. But anyway, I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, and we'll get to the text here in a little while. But I want to ask you this question, and I want you to think about it through this service this morning. Are you a wet water walker or a dry boat sitter? Let me repeat that. Are you a wet water walker or a dry boat sitter? See, in this book that I'm reading, the author lists seven things that he calls priorities of God, things that have been revealed to him by an angel that are God's priorities, not necessarily yours and mine. We may not put them in the same order, but he lists seven that are God's priorities. The number one that he listed in this book as God's priority is the blood of Jesus. Number two is fellowship and communion or relationship with God Almighty himself. He lists five more in that book, but I want to deal with these two this morning for just a little while. And I want you to decide, while I am preaching on this subject today, are you a dry boat sitter or a wet water walker? Amen? Are you willing to get out of the boat and do what God wants you to do? Are you willing to trust God enough to take a chance to get out of your security zone, out of your comfort zone, and walk where God wants you to walk? First, I want to talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I'm here to tell you this morning, had the Lord Jesus Christ not gone to the cross of Calvary and there shed his blood, you and I would have no reason to be here this morning. We would have no purpose to be here this morning. I know a lot of people try to work their own way to heaven, and that's been man's plan all along. But it takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, to get us into the presence of God. You see, when man sinned in the garden, his access to God was cut off. He no longer had relationship. He no longer had fellowship with God. And sinful man could not come into the presence of a holy God. Michelangelo, the great artist, painted in the Sistine Chapel, up on the ceiling of that chapel, a painting that depicts man's attempts to reach across the gulf of sin and to take hold of the hand of God. But try as he might, he cannot, because that gulf of sin is too wide and too deep for man to make his way to God. He cannot reach to God from where he is. Does not work. And we need access to God, you and I. The gulf is great that separates us. And I'm here to tell you this morning that man cannot fill that gulf with the blood and sacrifice of animals and of bulls and of goats or of pious deeds. But the Bible said in Hebrews 10:4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. I'm here to tell you today that it requires sinless blood. It requires perfect blood. And Jesus was willing to shed that blood. So one of the priorities, or the priority, the number one priority of God is the blood of His only begotten Son. You see, man fell from God and had no relationship with Him, but God had a plan before there was a need. God had a solution. Amen. Jesus, the Son of God, that was with Him before the creation of the world, would become the Lamb slain before the creation of the world and would shed His blood that you and I might be brought back into relationship with Almighty God. And Jesus took the wood of the very cross that He died on, and there He formed a bridge that would allow you and I to get across that gulf of sin and get back into relationship with God. That old song says, there is a fountain filled with blood. drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I'm glad this morning that I've been washed in the blood. I've been washed clean and pure by the blood of Jesus Christ. The old song said, the dying thief upon the cross rejoiced in his day to see that fountain. There may I, though vile is he, wash all my sins away. I want you to know Jesus built a bridge. The price has been paid. It's been paid for salvation. It's been paid for healing. It's been paid for deliverance. The blood is God's first priority in this world. We live in a society where people don't want to hear about the blood anymore. They want a social gospel where that you can just do good deeds and everything will be all right. But I'm here to tell you, upon the authority of the Word of God, it takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without that blood being applied, you have no hope of salvation. Blood's God's first priority. But then the second priority after the blood is fellowship and relationship between man and Almighty God. God desires relationship with us. There's too many folk that are using salvation and being saved today as a ticket to heaven, and they get saved and say, well, that's all I got to do. I'm going to heaven when I die. For the rest of my life, I'm just going to do what I want to do. That's a mistake. Amen? Never was and never will be God's plan. Many people that I know, I talk to some of them, they want the benefits of salvation, but they're not willing to seek out and do God's will in their life. They want the guarantee that one day, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, they'll go to heaven, but they're not willing to commit to anything else past that. I've got a news flash for you this morning. A lot of people think they can get into the social gospel. They can name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, all this other stuff, but here's your news flash. God does not bless us so that we may waste our talents and our substance upon our own self. Let me repeat that. You need to hear this. God does not bless us so that we can waste our talents and our ability and our substance upon our own self. God wants and cares for and loves a lost and a dying world. And it's you and I that are going to reach them for Him. God blesses us and gives us substance and talents in order that we might serve Him, have relationship with Him, walk with Him, and be a witness to a lost and a dying world. God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. A lot of us are laying up treasures down here, planning on a big retirement, and maybe having a home here, and one in Arizona, or one in Florida. But I got news for you. The Lord could call you home tonight. Then what are you going to do with all that stuff? The Apostle Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state that I am therewith to be content. Folk, we're not to heap that stuff upon us. We're to use it for the glory and grace of God. It's God that desires relationship with us. And if we trust Him enough, we'll trust Him with everything that we got. I'm here to tell you this morning that when Jesus built that bridge, He made a way for your salvation, but He also made a way that you could serve Him. I want to tell you this morning, you cannot, I repeat, cannot be a follower of Christ and have relationship with Him if you cannot enjoy being in His presence. Let me say that again. You cannot be a follower of Christ and have relationship with Him if you cannot enjoy being alone with Him. I mean, that's a contradiction in terms. If you love Him, you would want to be alone with Him. You would want relationship with Him. You would want and desire fellowship with Him. John 29:13 says, "You shall seek me," and or Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." When you begin to seek God, and nothing else matters but finding God and having relationship with God, I assure you that He will answer you. He will respond to you. I want us to look at just a few points in this text that I read to you in Matthew 14 this morning. I want you to notice, number one, that there was a storm raging. And how many of you know this morning that that hasn't changed? There's always a storm raging. You're either going into a storm, coming out of the storm, or you're right in the middle of a storm in your life right now. So there was a storm raging. These men were in a boat. The Bible said the waves and the winds were raging. And the Bible said Jesus came to them in a storm. How many of you know that God desires relationship with you to the point that He'll come to you even in your storm? When troubles are on every hand, God will reach out to you. Amen. In the midst of that storm, He'll come to you. When He came to them, it made them afraid. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the presence of God? You get some of them in a service like we had here last Sunday morning, and some they'll tear the back door down getting out of here. They don't want to be around that. They don't understand it. And I'm here to tell you, if you just get in, it's the greatest thing in the world. Amen? I don't know how many of you saw it. Last Sunday morning, there was a gentleman came and sat on the back seat right on that side. Never seen him before. I don't know who he was. He sat back there through the service. He enjoyed the preaching. But when the altar call started, he hit the aisle and it wasn't to come forward. He left here. Amen. You know why? He didn't want to be in the presence of God. A lot of people don't. And I do not understand that. Because if you love Him, you will want to be in His presence. A lot of people fear the presence of God. But I want you to notice something this morning, and I've heard this text preached on a lot about Peter and all this, but I want to point out something to you that I believe God revealed to me that you probably haven't heard before. Peter asked Jesus in the midst of his storm, "Lord, let me come to you." Is that not what he said? He said, "Lord, let me come to you walking on the water." That you'll find in verse 28. "If it be thou bidst me come unto thee on the water." Peter was willing to walk in his storm, take a chance on getting out of the boat and getting wet. Why? Not because he wanted to show out, not because he wanted to be important, not because he wanted to be noticed or recognized by other people. Peter wanted to go to Jesus because he knew that's where he could trust being. That's what Peter knew. His safety was in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, folks, when the storm's raging, you've got a choice. You can get out of the boat and go to Jesus, or you can sit in that boat and take the storm and watch the waves go. So are you a dry boat sitter or a wet water walker this morning? Amen. I want to know if you're willing, when the storm is in your life, are you willing to say, "Lord, I want to get out of this boat. I want to come to you." That's what Peter wanted to do. He knew where safety was. He knew where his power was. He knew who could take care of him. Wasn't that boat. I assure you, that boat could have sunk. Peter wanted to go to Jesus because he wanted to rest in the hand of God's only begotten Son. He wanted to be with Jesus when the storm was raging. And if you're a child of God, I assure you, you might start out in the storm on your own, but before you know it, you'll begin to realize, hey, I need to reach out and touch the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter walked on the water not to show out, but to go to Jesus. When Peter began to sink because he looked around him at the storm and all the things that were happening, he cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ. I assure you, whatever you're trusting in, when the storm comes, that's what you're going to reach out to. And whatever you're trusting in, if it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to let you down sooner or later. I said it's going to let you down sooner or later. If Peter had cried out to his knowledge as a fisherman, he would have sank. If Peter had cried out to his wealth, he would have sank. If Peter had cried out to any of his friends, he would have sank. But he had one knowledge in him, and that was cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that he knew could save him in the time of a storm. I want you to know this morning that when we get desperate enough to fall on our face and cry out to Almighty God, He'll hear you, He will take His hand, and He will reach out, and He will save you. Listen to what it said. Verse 31, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, saying three words, Lord, save me. Look at the next verse, 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Jesus was standing there on the water, and Peter said, Lord, I want to come to you. I want to be in your presence. I desire to have fellowship and relationship with you, and the storm's going on. Let me come unto you on the water. And Jesus just simply said, come. Peter gets out of that boat and gets out on that ocean and begins to walk on the water. But he got fearful. He got afraid because he looked around him at the circumstances. And then he cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ, save me. And the Bible said immediately, he reached out his hand. He didn't say, well, Peter, you know you haven't been obedient in the last few weeks. I haven't been too impressed with what you've been doing, so I don't know whether I need to save you or not. You need to repent a little first. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't say, well, Peter, you haven't paid your tithes. You haven't taught Sunday school. You haven't been faithful to attend church. So maybe you need to repent of that first. He didn't say that. The Bible said immediately when Peter cried out to him, he reached out his hand and got hold of him. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're a child of God, all God is waiting for you to do is cry out, God, save me! And He will reach out His hand and take you into His arms and bring you into His breast and love you. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him. There's some of you sitting here this morning, and you're in a storm right now in your life. It's raging all around you. And Jesus is simply asking you this. Set aside some of the things in your life. Get out of the boat and come to me. To become a wet water walker instead of a dry boat sitter. Let's look at the rest of this. Let's look at verses 32 down through 36. When Peter was caught up by the Lord, the Bible teaches us in this scripture that He brought him back and they came back into the boat. Now I want you to notice some results here of what happened. Verse 33 says, verse 32 says that when they come into the ship, the wind ceased. How many of you noticed the storm stopped when Jesus was present? Amen? But look at verse 33. The results of Peter going to Jesus on the water and reaching out to him in the time of that storm were these: Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I'm here to tell you this morning, when people see your testimony and they see your life and they know that in the time of your storm, when trouble's raging in your life, that you reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you get out of your boat and begin to go to Him. When they see that in your life, they will worship the Lord because of your testimony. Because they know that there's something about you that when that storm begins to rage and when trouble begins to arise, there's something about you. There's something way down in you that causes you to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, save me. And they see the results of that prayer. The Bible said everybody in that ship began to acknowledge who He was. Amen. Verse 34, when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, I'm sure they told that story. Amen. I'm sure they told about the storm and Peter walking on the water and Jesus saving him and everybody worshiping on that ship because the storm ceased. But listen, when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. You see the far-reaching effects of Peter's testimony here? Peter was just simply wanting to go to the Lord because he knew that was the safest place to be. But the results of it were that everybody on that ship worshiped and acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ. You want your family and your friends and those people that you know to acknowledge the Lord? Let them see Him in your life. When the storm's raging in your life, how do you react? Do you try to figure it out on your own? Do you try to just do the best you can? Do you try to reach out to your friends and say, I need help? Or do you reach out to the Lord Jesus and say, save me? Amen. Amen. Listen to this. And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. How many of you remember another place where somebody was desperate enough to need to touch the hem of his garment? The Bible teaches us about a woman that had an issue of blood 12 years. The Bible said that she spent all that she had on doctors and was nothing better. She tried everything she knew to try, and finally she come to that point where she said, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment. And the Bible teaches us that that woman come out in a crowd when she found out that Jesus was passing by that way, and she began to reach out because she said, I've got to touch him. I've got to touch the hem of his garment. I can almost see her in the same position Peter was when he got out on that water. He knew that he had to touch Jesus. He knew that he had to get a hold of that nail-scarred hand. Folk, I'm here to tell you this morning that when you touch the hem of his garment, my Bible said you can be whole, you can be saved, you can be healed, you can be cured, you can be blessed. Amen. God can bring you out of the storm. Amen. Bible said, I didn't know for a long time. I thought the woman with the issue of blood was the only one that ever touched the hem of his garment. Until I read this scripture one time, and that jumped off a page at me, and all they did, they didn't come with demands. They didn't come with conditions. The Bible said they just touched the hem of his garment. Touching Jesus is all that matters. Amen. When the storm is raging, when trouble is on every hand, are you going to be a dry boat sitter or a wet water walker? That's what this is all about. Amen. I believe that there are people here this morning that God has a word for you because you're walking in a storm right now and you need to get out of your boat. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God would say to us this morning, when touching Jesus becomes more important than our position in life, than our possession of things, than our concern about what others think about us, we're going to get out of the boat. Amen. Are you ready to get out of the boat this morning? That's what God wants you to do. Are you tired? Are you tired of sitting in that boat with a storm raging all around you, thinking that maybe any minute the boat is going down? If that's where you are this morning, if you're facing life storms, you've been saved, you've had the blood applied, but you've never got out of that boat and reached out in the time of trouble to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people here this morning, and I sense it with all my heart, that you're sitting here right now, and you've said, since you've been saved, since you've been born in the family of God, you've said to yourself, there's got to be more to this than what I'm experiencing. There's got to be more to this than what I know. There's got to be more to this than what's happening in my life. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you'll get out of the boat, amen, and get out and reach out to Jesus, He's passing by in the midst of your storm this morning. If you'll reach out and touch Him, you'll leave this place never being the same as what you were when you got here this morning. All they did was touch the hem of His garment. And the Bible said, as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Joanne, if you will, come to the piano. If you guys can find it, I would love for you to sing that song, Touching Jesus is All That Matters. When you come to the point in your life where nothing else matters but touching Jesus, you're right on the verge of a miracle. You're right on the verge of receiving what you need from the Lord. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God's going to ask you to set some things aside in your life and be obedient to Him and do what He's called you to do. That's the purpose of this whole thing. God's most important priority is the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. But the second priority is relationship and fellowship with His children. He loves you so much. He doesn't want you to go through that storm by yourself. He wants to be in that storm with you. I want us to stand this morning as they sing this song. If you need to touch Jesus in the midst of your storm, you get out of that boat right now and come. Come walking on the water with your hands outstretched to touch the Lord Jesus Christ right now as they sing right now.
This is Pastor LaCroix. I'd like to take this opportunity to personally thank you for listening to this recorded message. I trust it was a blessing to your heart. If you enjoyed listening to this message, or maybe you were helped by it, we'd like to hear from you. We have an email address if you'd like to email us. That's thankstocalvary@msn.com. Thanks to Calvary is all one word, all lowercase letters. If you just drop us an email, we'd be glad to hear from you. We'd be glad to answer you if you have questions or comments. Or you can write us there at the church. That's Harvest Time Tabernacle, 3040 11th Avenue in Evans, Colorado. Zip code is 80620. I'd also like to take this opportunity to extend a personal invitation to you to visit with us. We have services on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Sunday night at 6 p.m. If you live in, or maybe you're just visiting in the Loveland, Fort Collins, Greeley, Evans area of northern Colorado, we'd be honored if you'd stop by and just visit with us. Thank you again for taking time to listen. This is Pastor Terry LaCroix saying, go with God, and He will go with you.